Hi, this is Kelly Ray Roberts.
And this is Nicole Poinsky.
And this is the Possibilitarian Podcast, conversations about bravery, tenderness, and achievement. Sorry, I just can't help myself. Now I sound like C-3PO or C-3PO.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, we just saw Star Wars. It was really good.
Did you love it? I loved it.
I did love it. And then afterward, we went to have Italian. And then the next morning, I had a really bad case of food poisoning, as you know. So I will always remember that Star Wars like sort of bookended by, oh yeah, that was the night I had a terrible case of food poisoning.
That's horrible. I'm really sorry.
No,
that's like a revolutionary moment and like really important in pop culture history.
It is.
And
it also is the big, you know what?
What?
It also will always be, oh, right when 2016 started. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The good year.
The good year, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, Nicole. That's Kelly Ray.
Yeah, Kelly Ray.
We should introduce ourselves. I've noticed that we never introduce ourselves on the podcast. Oh, I guess we do during the little
during the
overlay
opening.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think this is like our seventh podcast. It's our first one in 2016. We say this every time, but we are totally hitting our stride.
Except that I think it's good that we open almost every podcast with giggles.
I know. Well, you look at me and then I cannot not laugh.
I know, because your mouth kind of falls open and you just get this this look of like
me?
Like just starstruck.
You're me?
Just, yeah, you. The only other person in this room.
Well, now that I know that I do that, I will try to keep a stiff face next time.
Nope, that'll just make me laugh even more. Hi, we're here.
Yes, we are. And I'm super excited about today's podcast because our last podcast was kind of like I don't want to say it was a downer because it wasn't.
No.
But it was about the holidays and
yes.
how stressful that can be and all the navigating of boundaries and, you know, just kind of staying centered during a really what can be a rough time of the year.
Yeah.
But now it's 2016
mm-hmm.
and we both have in common that this is like our favorite holiday.
Absolutely.
Of the year.
Yeah. New Year's.
Yes.
Yes.
So what we're going to do today is we're each going to talk about our word of the year, mm-hmm. talk about our intentions, and really invite those who are listening to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, we want to close out 2015.
Yes.
And I have three questions that my girlfriend, Andrea Scheer,
mm-hmm.
Introduced me to many, many years ago that I answer every year at the end of the year to sort mm-hmm. of close it up. And I'm going to ask you the questions.
Oh.
And then you can ask me.
Okay.
And then we can go on to a 2016 anti-resolutions.
Perfect. I love it.
Okay.
This is exciting.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to stop with my accent.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, and mm-hmm. after you answer this, I'll answer it, and then we'll go on to question two.
Super.
What do you want to acknowledge yourself for in regard to 2015? What did you create? What challenges did you face with courage and strength? What promises did you keep to yourself? What brave choices did you make? What are you proud of? So that's a lot of questions.
That's a lot of questions.
But the main question is, what do you want to acknowledge yourself for in regard to 2015?
Oh, boy.
What are you proud of, essentially?
Yeah, I had a big life transition in about June. It's like halfway through the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to acknowledge.
Can you share what that was?
Oh yeah, I broke up with my boyfriend.
Which was a significant relationship.
Yes, very significant, and you know, it was it was painful, but I think the biggest thing that I guess what I want to acknowledge for this year is I let myself be vulnerable and open with other people. Really for, you know, the first time in my life. And I let other people help me out and I let other people in. And to my surprise, when this thing happened,
the breakup.
Yeah. The fallout was that all of my sober sisters and brothers just kind of swooped in and held me up. And, cause if you haven't guessed already from these podcasts, I'm sober and, it's a big part of my life. I'm really open about it because it's a huge part of my life and my story.
Yeah.
And around that same time, I got a service position in one of my meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so that forced me to talk with people and, to be of service to folks. And, that takes a little bit of vulnerability and a little bit of courage to like get up there and talk to people and, organize things. And, so I felt like my heart really opened this year. And, folks just came rushing in and it was like, I for the latter half of 2015, I felt like I was living life. And I haven't done that in a really long time.
Yeah.
I felt like an active participant. And part of that was building and strengthening these relationships that were outside of my romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Which I realize is very important.
Vital.
Yes. And not entirely celebrated. You know, I think that friendships and brotherhood and sisterhood and chosen family is a relatively new concept. And in my generation, it's very much like the thing that's going to keep you alive, basically.
Yeah.
Cause we can no longer afford to be isolated and individual.
Yeah.
And step on each other for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that like, if I think about the thread of my own life, I call it like family of intention.
Mm-hmm.
It changes and morphs as we move along in our path and people come and go, but that family of intention in the present moment is everything because our partners we should not be relying on our partners, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, for everything.
Yes.
That's too much for a relationship to hold.
Agreed.
So
I learned that.
Yeah.
So, and I learned that through vulnerability and courage.
Yeah.
So what about you?
That is good. That's a good one. I really love that that is what you're most proud of.
Well, you got to witness.
I did. Some of the
tears, but also some of the triumphs.
Okay. So for me, what do I want to acknowledge myself for in regard to 2015? What did I create? What challenges did I face? Promises did I keep? Brave choices did I make? And essentially, like, what am I proud of? So, I didn't have, unlike you, I didn't have any big markers that happened this year. Usually I do.
Yeah. Well, we talked about how 2014 for you was a year of questions.
Yes.
And 2015 was a little bit more of a year of answers.
Yeah. It was more like a settling in.
Yeah. Year. And mine was opposite.
Opposite. Yeah. Because there's that really famous quote. I don't know who said it, but there are years that ask questions and there are years that answer.
Right.
And definitely 2015 was an answering year for
me.
I think that I'm most proud of the allowances I gave myself.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person who prior to 2015 and most of 2014 and then, for the rest of my life, had a lot of rules for myself. I must create this much work. I must work out this much. I must spend this much time with my kid. I must make sure that I send birthday cards or, I just had a lot of rules. In 2014, I just let myself off the hook and then that continued the practice in 2015.
Nice.
So I would say that I'm proud of the allowances that I gave myself to sort of drench myself in all kinds of permissions as a continued way of letting go of the rules that just don't serve me and that rather make me anxious.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is it does sort of feel like detox.
Yeah.
Like, in a way of, like, I know when I not, I'm sitting with a recovering alcoholic, so I shouldn't say, like, detox in that sense. But, like,
no, I understand.
Detox from, like, you know when we, like, go on social media detoxes?
Yes.
It's like that. Like, it's hard to not do things as you would normally do them, right?
Agreed.
I'm also really proud of the creative work that I did this year, especially as a teacher in the classrooms.
Yeah.
And I'm super proud of the Spirit Rings class that, you know, starts with a little seed of a dream and then it becomes like an actual thing that's created that people participate in with you. I'm proud of that. And I'm really proud of the creation of the Wear Your Joy e-course too.
Yeah.
And
can I say something really quickly?
Yeah.
I'm super proud of the students in those courses. I mean, just being able to watch them, you know, start from something, figuring out their mantras, figuring out, you know, like, what do you do with all these paints, you know, or like watching the Wear Your Joy students post photos of themselves and like from day one to day 30, it's like completely different.
It is
fascinating. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I do. It's a lot of, it's not a piece of cake, you know, none of these courses are, and it is soul work.
Absolutely.
But we're also letting our creativity out while we're letting love in, as I like to say. So, yeah, I think the thing that I'll like to remember the most about 2015 is that it was the first year in perhaps 10, maybe 11 years that John and I, and True, didn't have any big thing happen. Like, we didn't move houses. We didn't change jobs. We didn't have a baby. We didn't have some big event in our lives. And we're 40.
Yeah.
So, oh, I turned 40 this year.
I mean, that's a big deal.
And it feels amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm really proud of business stuff.
Sweet.
And loving the kindred spirits and the community that we've built. And it's been a year of settling and resting and regrouping and very calm. Love it. Okay. Good. Next question.
Next question.
Nicole. What is there to grieve about 2015? Meaning, like, what was disappointing or scary or hard, or what can you forgive yourself for?
Well, I think I'm grieving, this is kind of, I think I'm grieving the loss of blissful ignorance. You know, just like, I mean, with my breakup and with,
becoming more of yourself
and living
longer.
And, I have felt more like myself in the last 6 months than I have in a very, very long time. And, part of that was just kind of checking out because, I mean, I quit drugs and alcohol 3.5 years ago. Right. And so that was a numbing out that I did for a very, very long time. And then without that substance, what I'm left with is myself.
Yeah.
And so I got addicted to these stories that I was telling myself, a lot of stories about my relationship, a lot of stories about my life, a lot of stories, that were ignoring a lot of things that were right in front of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I was a friend of mine, like many of my friends did, they kind of pointed it out to me and I would like push it away and not, and say like, no, I don't think that's actually what's happening, and make up a lot of excuses.
So you're grieving the end of no longer being present to your stuff?
No, I'm grieving. It's a good loss.
Yeah, yeah.
That blissful ignorance.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to let go of.
Yes.
But there's a, I think there's several moments in your life when you turn over and you're like, well, I got it. When you turn it over.
Yeah. There's a sense of ease that comes when you're not aware. And then when you are aware, it's fucking hard work, right?
Absolutely. Self-awareness is a double-edged sword because it is great to know exactly what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. But at the same time, you have to feel it.
Yes.
And that can be really, really difficult.
Yes. I can relate to that. There are many times when I turn the corner and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be, I just wish that I wasn't conscious of this thing because now it means I have to do something about it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And I tend to be a little obsessive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a addict's personality. And so one thing will happen now in this like post, you know, like living life era that I'm in now.
Yeah.
One little thing will happen and it'll blow up in my head and it'll be like, my life is horrible for about 20 minutes and then I'll, you know, let it go.
Well, it's the seeker's journey, right? Of like everything has significance and there is a processing that comes and a distilling that comes and an awakening that comes and a like examining that comes. That's the seeker's life.
Yeah.
And I do sometimes wish, yes, I totally get it. I do sometimes wish that my brain was a little lighter in that way.
Totally.
Like blissfully just like skippity skippity do.
Yeah. I mean, it,
I know.
It'd be,
I have friends that are like that. I'm legit jealous of what it would. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's mine. What about you?
I mean, I don't. I'm sorry that you're grieving. But. what I mainly want to forgive myself for is all the times that I could have been more patient or more trusting, more loving, more kind. I mean, those instances happen every day. But I just want to, like, announce that and say it out to the universe. I certainly forgive myself for not following through on lots of things that I hope to dive into. On a biz front, there were lots of disappointments, and that's just, you know, the life of, and not disappoint, there, I wouldn't even say disappointments, but you know, I mean, lots of hiccups with licensing and
things
that I wish that had gone differently and that I did it, but that feels like I feel like the creative business world is such a playground for learning so many important lessons in the life journey. And one of them is this constantly letting things go.
Yes.
Yeah. So whereas I used to be super type A, anal, like regimented, the last 10 years, and certainly 2015 is one of those, it's been a big practice and like, yeah, things don't happen as we would like them to all the time.
Yes.
And so.
That's interesting because I feel like I didn't know what you were talking about as far as like,
you're like
disappointments in business. But I think, you know, I've only been in the creative business for a year and a half, but watching it over the year and a half, knowing that things ebb and flow and that other things like take the center, like the central, whether it's an income maker or if it's just like the focus of your attention. So the things that didn't work out seem to be more on the periphery anyway. And, you know, if things do work out, they could take more of the focus or more of your time or more of your intention or energy.
Right. So there's this constant like water movement, right?
Absolutely.
And for someone who that's not my born nature, I would say it's been a beautiful practice for me, a spiritual practice actually.
Yeah.
Because if it were up to me, I would, you know, I'd be in a much more linear career. Step A, then step B, then step C. The other thing that I think all moms would agree with me on this, that we sort of grieve at the end of every year, is like our babies are growing up. And that is bittersweet and true. Turned 5 this year, and that's a really big year. And just to think, you know, we went to Disneyland at this time last year, and mm-hmm. we're going to go again in a couple weeks. And just to think about the things that he could do or didn't want to do, or that were too intimidating, mm-hmm. or that were super fun, even a year ago now, it's like a world of difference.
Yeah.
So, it comes with, you know, again, like letting go, mm-hmm. grieving, celebrating. There's grieving and celebrating all in one swoop.
Totally.
Okay, third question, and then we're going to go on to 2016 Word of the Year.
Cool.
And this is a pretty, quick, easy question. Number three, Nicole, what else do you need to say about the year to declare it complete? The next step is to say out loud, I declare 2015 complete. How do you feel? If you don't feel quite right, there might be one more thing to say.
Huh.
Or are you ready to declare 2015 complete?
Is that the that's the question? Are you ready?
The question is, what else do you need to say about the year to declare mm-hmm. it complete, and then declare it complete?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you might not have anything to say.
Yeah, I think I have things to do, actually, to declare it complete. I cleaned out my room on the first day of the year.
Yeah.
And I found a bunch of stuff that so I got rid of one bag of trash, two bags of recycling, four bags for the Goodwill, and four bags to like sell at a garage sale, right?
Nice.
There's also a bunch of stuff in there that I have to, so my friends and I this weekend are having an F-2015 party. and we have a fireplace.
Like a goodbye 2015?
Goodbye.
Like a lovingly.
Like there's some shitty things that happened.
Okay, so you are doing like a ritual ceremony mm-hmm. kind of thing to let go of the things that you need to let go, go,
yes.
go. Oh, love
so
it.
We're writing down intentions. We're writing down stories that we told ourselves. Mm. We're writing down things that happened that we are ready to let go of.
Yes.
Throwing them in the fire.
You guys are so evolved.
Don't tell them you said that.
No, I love it.
Yeah, so that's like the thing that I feel like I need to do.
Yeah.
In order to let go of 2015.
You know what? Can I tell you a quick story about this?
Yeah.
So I have a friend, Jen Lemon, who years and years ago taught me this. She did this beautiful ritual, and it didn't have to do with ending a year, but it reminds me of what you're doing, which I've done this before, and it was really powerful, which is to find some leaves,
mm-hmm.
some like on the ground leaves, and write with a Sharpie the things that you want to release,
mm-hmm.
and then take the leaves and put them in a body of water and let them mm-hmm. drift away.
Yes.
Versus like burning them to ashes or whatever. But just, I love the idea of using nature
mm-hmm.
because in the season, because just the idea of seasons and mm-hmm. nature and the turning over and the, into like letting the leaves with all of our fears or things we want to go or whatever, just drift out
totally
to wherever they are going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drift out or lift up.
Or buried
ether.
Or whatever.
Whatever it is. Yeah. I
love. Okay, so you guys are doing, you're gonna, that's how you're gonna declare 2015 complete.
Yeah. That's what we're gonna do.
Okay. I love that.
What about you?
I closed my eyes and said a little moment the other day, which was mm-hmm. thank you for being the year where I settled in a little mm-hmm. bit, where I caught up on my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
On my downtime, let go of all or most of my self-imposed rules that weren't serving me. 2015 was a good year. Super grateful. And I declared it complete.
Nice.
Done, and done.
Yeah.
And now we can move on to 2016.
Yes.
And I want to ask you first what your... We both do words of the year.
Yes, we do.
And one of the reasons that I hired you in 2014 was because when we were doing our Skype interview, we had the same word of the year,
yeah,
which was trust, which was like the most impactful word of the year I've ever had. I've been doing this for like 10 mm-hmm. years or longer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And trust was so huge. I almost didn't pick it because it's such a like overused word, mm-hmm. right? Like love. Mm-hmm. But it changed my life. So I kept it in 2015 too. So now I'm curious, because you also kept it in 2015.
I did.
Right?
Yeah.
So we both have had the same word for 2 years. Mm-hmm. What's it going to be for 2016, Nicole?
I think it's going to be trust again.
Really?
Quite honestly, yeah. I hate to disappoint. I know everyone was on the edge of their seats.
But trust has so many different layers, and there's, it has such a like underbelly of meaning. So perhaps what aspect of trust are you bringing forth or calling forth?
I think it's trust in something greater than myself.
What was it in 2015?
I'm not sure what it was in 2015. I was so present in every single day in 2015.
Yeah.
That it got down to like micro moments when I switched on the trust thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would get to an emotional bottom, and then I would switch on like, okay, I'm just going to trust that there's a reason that this is happening. I'm going to trust that other people are going to be people. I'm going to trust that, I'm where I'm supposed to be at this moment.
And so is 2016 more of like a macro trust?
Yeah, like... I think it's, the way that my life is unfolding right now is so beautiful. And people are coming into my life who are teaching me a lot of things, right? And there's, my tribe is forming, and that tribe will influence the decisions I make later in life as far as like where I live.
Yeah.
If I partner up.
Yeah.
If I have a kid. If I get a dog, you know, like, really important life decisions that, we're taking into account, in relation to each other, and, trying to not force those things to happen right now. Mm. Right. So like, I have this big, wonderful idea that I'm going to live, in a place that I build myself. It's like a tiny house. Yeah. And I'm going to have my garden. I'm going to have, you know, all this other stuff around me. Right. And I'm going to have my community. And, the kind of type A or like, future tripping part of me wants to make that happen right now. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's idyllic and it looks good in pictures on Instagram and
in my head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it's, I'm moved past all the hard work and I'm just focusing on like the,
you're dreaming,
right? I'm reaping the benefits in my head.
You're dreaming. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, nope, I'm going to temper myself and just let it unfold the way it's supposed to. Right. And because I have no control over the way that my life happens and what happens in it.
Yes.
The only thing I have control over is the way that I respond to things.
And the choices you make.
Somewhat the choices I make. Yes.
Yeah.
How I choose to respond.
Yes.
To events happening in my life. And being able to be in that space requires a lot of trust.
Yes, it does.
So
it requires a lot of trust to sort of like live your life, be present, trust that the things that are meant to come to you and unfold will, and the things that are not meant for you will arrive for someone else or what have you. It does take a lot of trust too, especially at your age. You're 29. And so you are in this dreaming, building, manifesting season of your life.
Yeah.
Which those are the seasons that require the most amount of trust, or one of the seasons that require a lot of trust, that like, because the world is wide open at the moment, like you are in no way like pinned down by a family or a child or a super strict heavy dosing job or what have you. And so I can imagine that when every opportunity is yours, to trust that the one, like, the one sort of shape of what your life is going to look like will come.
Yes.
And.
Yes. I would say that.
A lot of trust.
Yes. That it requires a lot of trust. I would say that I don't know that I would say that every opportunity is available to me.
Well, right. But more than what will be when you perhaps.
Yes. Yes. I am in a very privileged position. And this was the attitude I took when I was getting kicked out of my apartment in Seattle because a new management company bought it and invited me to stay for $350 more a month. I was like, well, I don't have a kid. I don't have a dog. I don't even have a car. Yeah. So this is the best possible place for me to be where I could just pick up and move.
And be really intentional about the life you want to build. Mm-hmm. And while also pairing that with an enormous amount of trust that you're being led and guided and supported and held and seen and all of those things.
Yes. So that's why trust is my word of the year again.
It's such a good word.
It's such a good word.
Let's just tattoo it on our foreheads and
call it done. Yeah. What about you, Kelly?
I'm so excited about my word.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that my word for 2016 would be something along the lines of like discipline or follow through or commitment, because these last 2 years I've done so much trusting that it's so much letting myself off the hook and so many permissions and so many allowances that it kind of, which is my personality, like went full force in that direction. And I need to kind of like recalibrate a little bit and bring a little bit more like discipline, follow through, and commitment. So I was thinking about those words and my heart just sort of like sank, because they have like sort of like a have to do or punishing tone to them.
Obligation.
Which is the worst. Which I will run away from in a second.
Yeah.
But then I thought about the word devotion and how it still communicates commitment and discipline, but that the root of it is really about love.
Yes.
And so devotion is my word. Mainly because I notice in some areas of my life I half-ass things. When it comes to like certain things that I really truly want to cultivate, but I don't have that sense of devotion to. And so I want to just cultivate a sense of devotion to even like the most mundane things every day, every task, that whatever I'm doing, I'm not just present to it, but that I am like doing it with a sense of love and devotion, whether it's you know, taking my kid to school in the morning and sitting in 45 minutes of traffic, that I am like devoted to being in that moment and with him and talking to him, and who cares about traffic, and devoted to his education or what have you, all the way through to like the big stuff, and devoted to like working through really hard things, devoted to my self-care, to like all that. So I want to be all in.
Yeah.
In the areas that I'm not already all in, with a sense of love.
Yes. So when you say that you feel like you half-ass things, is that because you run out of energy, because you run out of commitment, or is it because those things aren't serving you anymore and you decide to let them go?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think what I'm thinking of, and maybe this will answer that, is the other thing that I love about this word is it's is the way that it points to sacredness and divine.
Yes.
And I love the idea of having more of a sense of divine and sacred to all things. And I think the things that I sort of half-ass, I don't have that perspective about. I don't see them as divine or sacred. I see them as chores. Or I see them as like another role that I put on myself, and I've been so anti-roles. So I think it's more about those things that I'm half-assing would deeply serve me in really big ways, but I need to see them as more sacred than I see them.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, like eating.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
You know, like to me, eating is a total chore. I don't enjoy it. Like, you could just, like, I would be one of those people that if you could just give them, like, I could just, it's horrible to say, but I could just eat, like, canned food. Like, just give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a bowl of cereal and I'll call it good. Like, I see it more as, like, just fueling up.
Yeah.
So I can get on with my day.
Yeah.
Versus, I'm going to take a moment, make or eat some food that is sacred and nourishing to my, not just to my body, but to my spirit and my mind. That, like, that would be an example.
Yeah.
And, like, eating with a sense of love toward myself, toward my body. Because I do believe that not only what we eat, but how we eat, the intentions that we're creating while we eat, that all of that matters. Energy is energy. Everything translates. So if I'm doing things without a sense of devotion or love, I'm not doing the energy exchange. It's not beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's one example. Or love that. Another example would be emails. I avoid and my inbox like the plague. So I would have, like, come to my inbox with a sense of, like, love and devotion. I'm going to make it a sacred ritual. I'm going to make myself a cup of hot tea and I'm going to, like, light a candle and make this seemingly, like, awful task come from more of a sense of, like, love and devotion.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Because it doesn't have to, I mean, I like the intention of infusing a little bit of love into life.
Yeah. It makes me, you know, that song just popped in my head. I think there's a song called Love and Devotion. Love and Devotion. It's like a 70s song, I think. I'm surprised that you don't know what
I'm talking about. I'm surprised too. But also, I can't remember what you sang the other day, but it was completely off. It was, you were like singing a completely different tune, but you had the same words to it. Oh man, what was that?
I don't know.
I can't remember, but.
Well, that is, that's it.
I know.
Do we have anything else we want to say about 2016? Anything we want to invite in besides our words? I would like, you know what? I do want to say one more thing about 2016 besides devotion. I'd like to have a little bit more fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. I, like, want to.
Do you want to go dancing?
Yeah, I want to go dancing. I want to go jump on the trampolines.
Yes.
I want to, like, do more adventurous, weird, kooky, memory-making stuff.
Yeah. I think my twin word for 2015 bleeding into 2016, besides trust, was wild. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yes, I love that word. And
I do too.
Last year I did things that wild as in deviating from the norm of the choices I would usually
make.
Which were ones out of fear.
Yeah.
Like
do something crazy.
Yeah, I mean not like rob a bank or anything, I took a ride on the back of a motorcycle. You know, I started yoga.
Yeah.
Like really, really intense, like intentionally started yoga.
Yeah. That's wild.
It's wild. Yeah. It's totally wild for me. Are you kidding?
That's why I said it. That's wild. You? Yeah. I love that.
Singing, making art with people, going to parties where I don't know anybody. Introducing myself and like finding like new best friends, you know, going on dates, like
I love how trust and wild play off of each other.
They totally do.
Right.
Yeah. But also just like, you know, being in awe of the wildness that is around me.
Yeah.
You know, like really acknowledging that there is something bigger than me. Whether it's that tree or, like, you know, just, like, sky.
Right.
I'm in a wild world, and I'm just a part of this, like, whole web that's being woven.
I love it. I love that. Because it's not just even about wild choices, but it's about, like, wild like the bewilderness, mm-hmm. the bewilderment of yeah. the world and mm-hmm. the awesomeness of the world. That yeah. that in of itself is kind of freaking wild.
There. Yeah. Just letting myself be surprised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I can still be surprised. I don't know everything about the world.
Well, let's hope until the day we die that we're still surprised. I don't want to be alive if I'm not, you know.
Agreed.
Come and shake me the second that I'm not.
But nothing surprises you anymore.
Come and wake me up. Okay. Surprise! Everything's wild.
Oh, I want that on a shirt. I want that cross-stitched. I want that maybe. Okay, so I'm going to take Kelly Ray's Hello Soul, Hello Mantras course.
Yeah.
And I think that wild is going to make its way into my mantra.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Everything's wild.
It's such a good word.
Yay.
All right. Well, yeah, on that wild note, let's end our podcast and I know you usually do like a little ending to our podcast. So
right. Okay. So if you guys want to find us on iTunes, we are in the iTunes store. Again, that's the Possibilitarian Podcast. And if you are so inclined, leave us a little note, rate us and comment in the comment section. And that gets us higher in the ratings and helps other people find us. So we super, super, super appreciate your time. And also, if you have any questions or queries or anything queries. That you want to say, I think those are the two of the same things. Shoot us an email at hello@kellyrayroberts.com. Again, that's hello@kellyrayroberts.com.
All right, y'all. Happy 2016. See you. Talk soon.
Yay. All right. Peace. Bye.